Now, as Professor Bauma of Monash University pointed out, and as Andrew Jakubowicz of UTS predicted last week, the fastest growing religion in Australia is now Hinduism. It jumped 97%. There are now around 280,000 Hindus in Australia. Now, you can put nearly all of that down to a big rise in the number of Indians and Sri Lankans coming to Australia over the past 5 years. Most of them are highly skilled professionals, especially in medicine and accounting and IT. So how have the Indian and Hindu communities adapted to their growth in Australia? I went looking for some answers. Well, it's a freezing cold night on what is normally a very busy road here in Western Sydney. And I've come here to the Sri Mandir Temple for the Friday night devotions. And I'm here to meet a man who is a leader in the local Hindu community. He's been here for almost 40 years and was one of the people responsible for setting up this temple. So I'll just head in, take off my shoes, which is the custom. Leave them with the other shoes that are left here at the door, and we'll go inside.
My name is Vijay Singhal, and I am one of the directors of Hindu Council of Australia.
And you were the founding secretary of this particular temple?
Yes. When this temple was established, this is the first Hindu temple in Australia. It was established in 1977, and I was the secretary at that time.
You've certainly made a very beautiful temple here. We're standing in front of what people of other religions might call an altar, and there are two very beautifully decorated figures. What's this area called, and what are those figures?
Yeah, that's the altar, and the figures are of Krishna, is the eighth incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and his divine consort, Radha. They never married, but Radha was the consort who followed Krishna, who devoted her life to Krishna.
And in front of them there is a metal cup with a flame in it. What's that meant to symbolize?
The flame and the light denotes knowledge, denotes removal of darkness and ignorance.
And there's another small altar at the front here with some fruit that appears to be left there. What's that meant to be?
When we come to pray, we are supposed to bring fruits or flowers to offer to the deity. The fruits are then offered to the god, and we take it back as a consecrated food so to nourish ourselves.
And around the temple walls, there are other small altars with figures and deities, and I see people walking up to them and touching them and making prayers. What's that all about?
Hinduism believes there are so many gods and goddesses, but they are all manifestations of the same reality. But you can choose whichever form of god you want to pray. But ultimately, it is the same God that you are praying in different form. That's why Hinduism believes in all religions. If you believe in Christianity, Jesus, that is fine.
And if we walk through this temple here, we've taken our shoes off, it's beautifully maintained. Let me ask you, when you first came to Australia, which was, I think, nearly 40 years ago, how many Hindus were in Australia?
Very few. Before 1972, there was a white-only policy in Australia. So very few Asians were here. It's the Whitlam government who opened up the immigration and removed the white-only policy. And at that time, mainly professional people were allowed to come in, doctors, engineers, IT professionals.
So, Mr. Singhal, in this temple, tell me how many people would come here each week?
Each week, maybe running into a few hundred. But when we have a particular festival, like Deepavali or Krishna's birthday, we get people up to 1,000 people coming here.
And in the last 5 years, I guess the numbers have really grown because of Indian immigration to Australia.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's chock-a-block. You find it very difficult.
Out in the car park, onto the footpath.
That's right, yeah.
How important is education in the Hindu philosophy?
It is a basic requirement in the Hindu religion. There are stories from the early childhood. They would go and stay with the teacher called Guru in the ashrama and get the education.
So in your own family, have you pursued this philosophy of knowledge?
Family, I got three daughters. Two of them are doctors.
You sure you're not Jewish?
There are a lot of similarity with Jews.
No, I only make that aside because, as you know, it's a great source of humour for many Jewish families to talk about their children being doctors. But I think the point is, though, that the two religions share this very strong belief in education as a way of both service and advancement.
That's right. You can live a better life with education.
Another interesting aspect of Hinduism, I note, though, is that Hindus don't believe in proselytizing. You can only really grow the religion through family.
That's right. We believe that there are many paths to reaching your goal, which is salvation. Ultimately, you can take any route.
And, of course, in Australia, the community has grown through major immigration. Why do you think Australia has become such an attractive place for Hindu Indians?
It is just there are opportunities here, economic opportunities.
And this temple and other places like them, how important are they for the Indian community?
The temple allows you to link to your roots, your cultural roots, your religious beliefs. When we created this, established this temple in 1977, there were not many Indians at that time. And now we have a number of temples in Sydney and in all other major cities. And that gives a sense of belonging.
Well, with that, let's go and observe this very beautiful ceremony.
Thank you.
That's the Hindu community leader Vijay Singhal speaking during services at the Sri Mandir Temple in Western Sydney. Just to correct my introduction, the rise in Hindus in Australia was 86%, as Gary Baumer said, not 97%. Now, before we go, a quick news note. For the first time, a jury in the United States has convicted a Catholic official for the way he handled and covered up sex abuse allegations. Monsignor William Lynn of Philadelphia was found guilty of child endangerment. Prosecutors said he recommended reassigning to other parishes priests who were accused of abuse. He faces a possible 7-year sentence. We'll keep an eye on that. Next week, a special program on the crisis in Syria. Is the civil war there becoming a religious war? Our guest will be Professor Mark Juergensmeyer, director of the Orphalia Center for Global and International Studies at the University of California and author of the recently released book Global Rebellion, Religious Challenges to the Secular State. And that is our program for this week. A big thanks to producer Noel Debien. Go to our homepage at the RN website for the full version of the show or for individual segments. Leave a comment or follow us on Twitter at ABC Religion. Next, Waleed Ali with Drive. Good afternoon, Waleed.
Hi there, Andrew. Hey, can I just check, how good are you at grammar? Are you big?
All right.
Are you sure? You don't seem
well. I've
like
done
you...
a lot. No, I've done a lot, and I and
did
I learned
did you study
a lot.
It at school? Did you actually do it at school?
I learned it at the foot of my mother, who was a school teacher.
Oh, right. It's interesting because we don't really learn it in schools anymore. I remember basically learning it in primary school for a bit, and then it was dropped. In the drawing room tonight, I've got someone who's found a very old grammar textbook from Australian schools, the graded word book for Australian schools, it's called, and it's a gem as a cultural artefact as well as a grammar textbook. So anyway, we're going to talk about grammar. Of course, the big debate today has been about asylum seekers, whether or not there will be a breakthrough in Canberra. Meanwhile, there is a rescue attempt going on for another boat that's capsized. We'll give you the latest after the news.